your boy TBC on the Jokes and Jocks podcast with my co-host
Dehe Wiley, your favorite Blasian.
Oh yeah. And today, after this beautiful Father's Day weekend, we're going to talk about one incredible week your boy done had, starting off with America's Got Talent. Well, I would even back it up further. Before that happened, I did do an awesome fishing tournament in Falmouth, New England, off the Cape of Cod, where we caught no cod, just sea bass and a couple bluefish. But yeah, America's Got Talent. And then my Warriors completely decimated the Celtics roster.
Yeah, so much for Celtics and seven. I'll take that L though. I pay my debts. You guys will see me, my booty, off the pier eventually. I think Tully, you said that you have to be there. So it's going to be a minute, I feel like, until you're going to be there, because you're like always in Rhode Island or Mass or, you know, anywhere but Cali.
I know. I've been on the move lately.
Doing big things, man. Doing big things.
But, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily have to be there. You know, we can, if you have a friend that will record it, which I know you do, and you pick, you pick a time of day, you know, where the beach isn't so busy.
Well, what's the point if you're not there, though? Isn't the whole point for you to be there?
Well, I'm there if someone records it. I'm there visually. I can see what happens. But I get it. Yeah, we can wait. I should be in California, actually. I'm looking at the first week of July. I haven't decided what I'm doing for the 4th of July this year. And part of me wants to stay in New England. The other part wants to go back to sunny California, where your boy is from. But that will be decided in the next couple of days.
Well, you know how we do in Cali for the 4th of July. So it's really, really up to you. There's going to be a lot of debauchery on the 4th. So I don't know about in New England, how they do in New England, but there's a lot of debauchery on the 4th of July here.
Oh, it's same here. I mean, you know, the beauty of New England is you don't have to drive too far to get fireworks. You can go up to New Hampshire or Maine, where fireworks are legal, and you could just, you know, I mean, you'll see fireworks everywhere, like people, even the week before and then the weeks after, like people just, they just keep it going with the fireworks.
Yeah. Wait, so it's not legal in Boston? They don't have a fireworks show?
Boston does, yeah. Yeah, Boston definitely does. There's fireworks shows all over. I mean, Sharon, the town I used to live, and where I used to go for the 3rd of July, they have a big fireworks show on the lake, and they have like a little carnival for the kids. It's pretty dope. Aww. You know, everybody's on the boats on the lakes. They light their boats up. People shoot fireworks off their own boats. So, the 4th of July, I think pretty much anywhere you go in the country is lit. But California, as we know, it has its own unique way of celebrating. So I haven't decided yet where I'm going to be, but it's coming soon.
Okay. Well, as per your, I don't know if we like did the parameters of, or like defined the parameters of the bet. I will be booty naked jumping off the pier, but I didn't know if you wanted to like physically see it or if you just wanted it videotaped. So
yeah, I think you know, I can wait till I'm in town. But if I am in town for the 4th, then what better way to celebrate? the victory dive for me and for you.
the defeat dive. I guess we'll be there
for you.
So tell everybody, and me specifically, because I still haven't even known how your run for America's Got Talent going?
Oh, well, the America Got Talent thing, that's just, it's going great. It's really all just been like a, just an overnight, like random. I would say this, there's nothing really random in this world. A good friend of mine who I ran into yesterday, this kid named Jeremy Rogers, ex-pro skater, blew up on the scene when he was like one of the youngest kids to go pro in skating. And then I think he retired early from the game after, I mean, he's been in like Tony Hawk video games and all this stuff. And now he's like a producer, rapper. And I ran into him in Hermosa Pier 2 or 3 years ago. And yesterday I go to this restaurant randomly and look who I'm sitting next to the bathroom, kind of. He comes out the bathroom. I'm like, yo, wait a second. Don't I know you? He's like, yeah, man, where do I know you from? I was like, oh, wow, we took a picture at Hermosa Pier 2 years ago. And you're in this random, like, this. I mean, I say random restaurant, like, this isn't like a Cheesecake Factory. Mind you, this is in, we're in Foxborough, Massachusetts at this restaurant. And I run into this kid. I probably have to get him on the podcast now. But he said to me, there's no such thing as coincidences. That was my whole point of the America's Got Talent thing. You know, nothing's random. But yeah, I end up connecting with him. He's going to make a beat for me or send me some beats for me to rap on.
Yeah, I said, you're right. There are no such things as, I guess, random coincidences. But what did you, what were you doing in Foxborough? Was it just because you had to, like, do a Patriots thing? Or was it America's Got Talent?
No. So America's Got Talent, that's okay. That's a whole nother. I'll get into that, too. But the Foxborough thing happened because I do work with the Patriots Alumni Association that runs and throws a camps, multiple camps throughout the New England area, all through June, July, and August in like several locations. We just happened to be in Foxborough, Mass. The next one's this Friday in Narragansett, Rhode Island. And then the following week, I believe they're in Lynn, Massachusetts, then Lowell, Massachusetts, Lawrence, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. If you go on the website, patriotsalumni.com, I believe that it's what it is. Or if you just Google Patriots Alumni on their website, you can see it's called Football for You. And so I was there coaching a camp in Foxborough, and a good friend of mine from the area picked me up. So we're going to this restaurant called Cafe Misto. And when I tell you, this place was amazing, like some of the best Italian food I've had in a long time. Little hole in the wall spot in Foxborough, Massachusetts. I went there for dinner. But yeah, the camp had about 350 kids. There was a bunch of rookies from the 2022 class that were there. I mean, all the rookies pretty much were there. Every rookie, drafted and undrafted. It was about maybe 15 rookies to help coach the kids up. So it's and then about four alumni guys, myself, Patrick Pass, Rick Buffington, Ilya, and Nelson, my man Nelly, Hall of Fame Patriot linebacker. So that was fun. But yeah, the America's Got Talent thing, a lot of people were coming up to me saying, you know, what was that like? How'd it go? I mean, that was a, like I said, it all started from when I was at the Super Bowl this past year, you know, the Rams and the, I forgot who they beat. Oh, the Bengals.
The Bengals,
Isn't that crazy? You always forget who was the losing team.
nobody remembers second place, man.
So, So yeah, I was at that, and they have a bunch of events for former players and things to go to. And one of them, I ran into my buddy who I was drafted with. He went to Penn State. We played in the Senior Bowl together. His name's Brian Scott. He went on to have a great NFL career. And I had always remembered him from the Senior Bowl, how cool he was. We were, you know, he was a baller with the same draft class, same age. And we ran into each other. I think it was for the first time since our rookie year. And I think I remember he was at the rookie symposium as well. And so he, you know, we just connected. He started telling me about what he's doing for business. I told him about what I was doing. Got each other's contacts. And then I would say, see, the Super Bowl was in February. He contacted me like the end of March out of the blue and was like, hey, man, I heard you can sing. You want to be on America's Got Talent with us? I was like, what? Say less. So that basically happened. And then 2 weeks later, about 2 weeks later, we had the rehearsal in Pasadena and the audition for America's Got Talent. So that was like a, I don't know, it's just like a jolt of lightning for that to happen. And then it just, I don't know, God was just like I said, and I guess there's no coincidence. And someone from my rookie year who I remembered and talking with, manifested into us being on the same show. So,
I mean, like you said, though, there are no coincidences. Like, this was obviously, it was meant to be, you know?
Yeah, it was like planned a long time ago. Like, I had nothing, you know, I have nothing to do with it. But yeah, it was, you know, just, it's like, I can't even explain all the guys who were on in the choir that I met, because there's a lot of different guys. Because the history of the choir goes back before America's Got Talent. They've been doing it for about 20 years. And it was called the Super Bowl Gospel, where they were performing at a gospel event during the Super Bowl. And then different players would come on to the choir and sing with the choir. So it's kind of been like an open revolving door for NFL players that can sing or want to sing or want to be a part of it to join. And then, you know, it's also, it's a good thing because it's flexible in terms of, you know, because guys get busy or things happen in life where, you know, certain guys can't make the choir, but another guy can fill in and step in.
So people rotate in and out of the choir?
Yeah, well, yeah, they do. I mean, there's like a core group of guys that that were the founders of it, Michael Gaines and, Cam Newton and Tommy Harris. Tommy Harris and Michael Gaines, you know, they started it, and then they're kind of like the nucleus of it. And then it kind of just gained more guys onto the choir. But some guys, like I said, once you get up to like 10, 20 guys, if a guy has to miss, it gives room for other guys to step in. So.
Okay. And then where do you guys go for this? Like, is it just in, are you just so happen to be in Foxborough and doing it, or are you just like, where do you guys go? Like,
oh, no, no.
You're going to travel around the world for this.
Yes. Like, so the first rehearsal was in, like, my very first rehearsal with the choir was in Pasadena at the audition, which was the audition was on like a Friday, I believe. And we had like, I flew in on like a Wednesday, and we rehearsed like Wednesday, Thursday, the day before the choir. I mean, for the audition. And then now that we pass to the next round, we meet on Zoom, and then we just recently met in Dallas, and it kind of worked in hand in hand because there was a symphony going on dedicated to Richard Smallwood, like a very prominent gospel guy, been in the game, like one of the pioneers of gospel. And they invited us because they knew we were a choir. They had some prior relationships. And because America's Got Talent, we were able to sing with them. And so we looked at that opportunity as a spot for us to all get together and rehearse for America's Got Talent as well. So that was in Dallas this past Wednesday. We also got to visit the Children's Hospital, which was dope. And we just got to bond as like a choir, because like you said, everyone lives in separate areas, you know, parts of the country. So for all of us to get together and put something together, it was a great experience.
I mean, that sounds extremely beautiful. Like I did see your IG when it came to the choir going to the Children's Hospital, and that had to be, I mean, kids being sick is like one of the most heart-wrenching things to witness, you know, and they're so much stronger than we are. So that must have been an amazing experience for you.
Oh, yeah, those kids, I mean, we only got to answer their questions, and, you know, those kids were just, you know, it was to make their day, you know, and for any kid to have a bad day, you know, you want to brighten it in any way you can. And that hospital, they did a great, you know, they do a great job of trying to uplift the kids and bringing in different acts and different things to make them feel better. And to be one of those acts was a blessing. And you know, it was really interesting. I had met a lady at the hotel we were staying at. And she said that when I told her we were going to Children's Hospital, that she had a nephew that was there, who was like a football player who recently got in a car accident and injured his back really bad. It was just so random. That's like not random. It wasn't random. It wasn't a coincidence that I was able to actually see that kid. We sang for him, took pictures with him, and able to send it to her. So that was like, you know, the whole experience. Really was a God moment. Those kids, I'm hoping that really helped in their process of getting better.
No, I'm sure it did, because I mean, just regular kids, you know, they're all like hyped just to see professional athletes and like hang out with them. And then like, I can only imagine, you know, when kids who are sick can, this is what they want to do. And, you know, especially that kid, I'm sure you changed his life. So what else has been going on? What else is going on with you other than winning bets and America's Got Talent? Because one of these days we're going to do an episode face-to-face, man. It's going to happen.
An episode about what?
An episode of us face-to-face, like you and I. We've only done Zoom episodes.
No, that's definitely, you know, I've been actually conjuring a lot of different ideas and things. They all will be kind of seen into fruition soon. You know, as far as the podcast, yeah, I definitely I want to elevate the podcast where, you know, we are definitely on camera. And we can also do some other things with the podcast in terms of guests. This show, obviously, we didn't bring a guest on, but I think it was only right because, you know, we are special guests ourselves. And I felt like, you know, let's do an episode, just T&G, you know what I mean?
No, I feel you. Yeah, no, I mean, we're special, guys. We're special. I don't have anything else to ask of you because, like, well, I feel like we bond all the time over the phone, man. So, like,
well, we can talk about these Celtics Warriors real quick. You know, I mean, America's Got Talent. I'm telling you if you listen to this, you know, we'll be on again in August. I want to say The show airs every Tuesday, so I want to say it's the first or second Tuesday of August. So around the August 12th or 13th, you'll see advertisements for it. But you know, you can share the YouTube video or the America's Got Talent link of the video, and then we are now just getting ready to and preparing for what we're going to do next, and then hopefully we can get America's vote to get on to the next round. But I've been watching the show. The talent is like unbelievable this year.
Yeah. I mean, like, that show brings it. What one of my questions, though, is what was it like to be in front of, like, Sofia Vergara and Simon Cowell, like, all those celebrities? I mean, you're used to being in front of celebrities. I am not. So you're used to being in front of celebrities all the time like that, but to be judged and then also to not be meeting them in, like, a meet and greet kind of environment. It's more of a, hey, like, do you actually have talent kind of environment. How was that like?
You know, it's interesting to see, like, people that you see all the time on TV and all the time, like, in magazines and, you know, ads, up close in person. I mean, they were on the judges panel and we were on the stage. So that was like a surreal kind of like, is this really happening? Like, it almost felt like a dream, like, you know, but, just the crowd, you know, the authenticity of the show is like, you know, people are really like cheering you on and, you know, there's like a real emotion from the crowd. And then Sofia and Heidi, I mean, Howie wasn't there because he had COVID. Okay. That's why if you notice the episode, there's only three judges.
Yeah.
Which is funny considering he is a germaphobe and he got COVID. So I know that must not have been fun for him. But yeah. But yeah, it's good to see that he's back on the show, and hopefully we get to see him next time. But Heidi, Sofia, and obviously Simon, I mean, it was like, you know, like I said, it was just surreal to see people that you always see on TV, you know, 10 feet away from you, 20 feet away from you. So they were really cool, too. Just like the reaction we got from them, you know, we had been rehearsing over and over and over and over again. And so, you know, by the time we got to the stage, it just felt like it was like so natural. And, you know, it was kind of like one of those things where we had the confidence knowing that if we rehearsed as good as we were rehearsing and make it sound as good as it needed to sound, that it would be kind of undeniable.
Right.
Judges definitely, like, they kept it, you know, they loved it. And that was a great feeling to see that. And my mom was in the crowd too. So
you missed the best part, man. You gotta say that your mom was in the crowd. You can't not say something like that. That's huge. That's great. It's great that your mom was able to make it.
Yeah. Yep.
Cause she lives all the way in San Diego. So like that's a trek for her.
That was big, and she had just had surgery on her foot, so she was like in a cast and like a wheeler, so like a one knee wheeler. So she was able to get like escorted through, like, you know, and didn't have to like wait in line or anything. So it was like for her to be there made it that much more special. So it was a great experience. I was itching to see what it would look like on TV because, you know, we recorded the episode, you know, before all the auditions happened, before the actual show. So we still didn't even know, like, because, you know, they can edit it if they want, I guess, for you not to make it. But, you know, it was to see that we made it was and on TV, that was dope. So
yeah,
it's exciting. It's exciting to see, you know, what we do next and from here. But
so your next on is in August. So you're gonna do they always record in Dallas or is it gonna be elsewhere?
No,
or?
So we recorded it in Pasadena. So the first
Yeah,
we did the first one in Pasadena. Then we were able to fly to Dallas. And meet to rehearse, And then we also were able to utilize our location to do the symphony and the Children's Hospital. So we're actually the other way around. We were there to do the symphony and the hospital, but we were able to rehearse while we were there. So it was kind of like a, you know, it was just a good, like the show was the week of too. So the show was on Tuesday. We went to the hospital on Wednesday. No, the show was on Tuesday. Went to the Children's Hospital Wednesday. And then did the symphony on Thursday. Oh no, we might have did the hospital and the symphony in the same
day. Yeah,
we did it both Wednesday. So yeah, that was quite the week, let me tell you. And then the Warriors won on Friday, so I was just like,
"Always gotta dig, man. You always gotta dig. I was gonna dig it into my back right there and be like, the Warriors. What do you think about their chances to repeat though? Because I mean." Everybody's still healthy, relatively.
There's no one that's gonna beat that team right now if they are.
So what do you think it's like? Because if the Clippers came back healthy, if Giannis comes back healthy, like Giannis and Milwaukee come back healthy, like that's a team to beat right there with like Milton and the rest of that squad.
You know what? Unless
it's gonna be rough.
I'm telling you, like I understand it, but. What people don't realize is that you're playing against the best shooting duo of all time. And so it doesn't matter if it's
Giannis. Yeah,
it doesn't matter who it is. Unless Giannis. What's that?
Clay did not have the best series.
I know.
I mean, he was game six Clay, and that's great. But like, he was not consistent throughout that whole entire series. Now, on the other hand, Curry should have had MVPs stacked up. This should not have been his first MVP. And I think it's ridiculous. I find it funny. Like now everybody's like, oh, he's on like that top five. I'm like, when was he not on the top five? I don't understand whether it's like, now you're finally ranking him amongst the best. Curry's always been great. I've never denied that Curry's always been great.
Yeah, but this series was different. I mean, this series for him, he carried because the other series...
He carried Joel last year, too.
Well...
He just only carried...
They didn't make it to the championship last year, either.
But I mean, you wouldn't have made the playoffs if it wasn't for him, either.
No, I mean, he is the, like, nucleus. He's like the... He is their best player by far. But when you talk about potential and what they've been in the past... He was always a piece of a great team. It was never a one-man show. And he's not the type of player that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, arguably he could, based on what we saw in a series, he can carry probably any NBA team that in a finals best of seven series. But for a season, I mean, Clay, now that what Clay has proven is that he's healthy, and that's the key. He can always, and that he still has, the ability to knock down those catch and shoot shots, but and off the dribble and play defense. I mean, he's starting to get his groove back. So if they can get back to where they were a couple years back and even better, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of being a shooter is that it's one of those things that gives you longevity in the NBA. So I don't see them getting beat by anyone unless they can shoot the lights out like that. And with Wiggins, still a young player, you know, developing into what he's shown he can be this year, they're only going to build. And they got it. Go ahead.
You guys, sorry to interrupt you, but you guys actually, like, Curry went to the rack a lot in game six. A lot. If you look at film, go back and look at film, Curry went to the rack majority of the time. To go and get, he switched everything up. He didn't just shoot the ball the whole entire time to win that at least to win game six. He didn't shoot a lot.
No,
his percentage but, on but his
throughout
percentage
the series,
of
throughout the series, yeah.
Got you. Okay, yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, he was his assists. Yes, he was taking it to the rim, and I think he also has, you know. He was also playing more than I think he would. I mean, the first game we talked about this where they sat him in the fourth, you could tell that the way they were managing his time, they were making sure, like, to strategize to make sure it was when they either had a lead or, you know, the other players coming off the bench were playing good. Otherwise, he was in there. So he got a lot of minutes, and he made the most out of every minute. And he knew, you could tell, he knew when they needed a bucket, like, he wasn't going to depend on anyone else. He was going to take it himself. So that's what.
So are you thinking they're going to go back-to-back then? To back?
I mean, they should have had it back-to-back a couple, you know, a few times. I mean, they've already been back-to-back before, right?
Yes, but I'm saying, like, back-to-back. And also, that was a totally different roster. It was a completely different roster.
Well, they still had the main three guys, the main three guys on each team.
Yes, but she still had KD on that team, man. It's a totally different team with KD on there.
Well, he didn't play in the finals. They would have went back-to-back with KD for the third one had he, you know, him and Klay both got injured in those series.
Yeah.
So if you really think about it, look at Wiggins and look at Durant, right? They play the same position for that team. And
they're not the same player, though.
Well, I mean, arguably they have different strengths. And I don't say Durant is, you know, heads above Wiggins at this point of his career. I don't think Wiggins can shoot the ball like Durant, and obviously isn't as tall as Durant. But I don't know. I think there's an argument that, you know, Wiggins was a great replacement for Durant, considering the way they run that offense and the things that Wiggins can do that Durant can't. Like, Durant is as good as a defensive player. What's that?
No. I'm agreeing with you. I agree with you on that. They're two totally separate players. Not only due to height, but also due to the fact that he's younger than him. So he has a little bit more longevity right now than KD, and he's not as accident prone, I guess, because KD has had more unsustainable injuries in the last few years, right? So Wiggins has only been hurt once, right?
Right.
Am I tripping on that? He's only been hurt once.
And Wiggins was the first pick in the draft, right? Was Durant the first pick in the draft?
Number two.
See? So,
yeah, but in all fairness, do you know who number one was, right? Who no longer is in the NBA.
Yeah.
During his draft class. Yeah. Like, so he may have been number two, but he should have been number one. The only reason why he was number two was because this kid, like the kid that I'm going to look him up. I forget his name, but like, he's the one that like, he looked like a man. He was a man child. He looked like a man child from like the time he was in the eighth grade. Like, they had to, like, his mom said that his birth certificate was, like, down to embers, because she had to constantly prove that he was of age to be in the tournament that he was in. Like, he went to Ohio State. Oh, man, why are
you talking about Greg Oden?
Yeah, Greg Oden was the first round pick, and then KD.
Right. And Greg Oden, I mean, he was a monster in college. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, a freaking beast. And, like, are you going to take that? Or are you going to take KD? Do you know what I mean? Like, just if you just look at him as like a powerhouse kind of guy, but again, injuries, man. And you guys should know football players should know above anybody how injuries play into playoffs and winning a title, especially towards the end of the season. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's zoning shots. And
you know who number three was behind KD? Al Horford.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's crazy. That is crazy.
So, you know, when you look...
For Boston, that, right? He, like, he got drafted to Boston,
He got
right?
drafted to Atlanta, Al Horford.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's insane. There are no coincidences there.
And he won... Yeah, he was a chip. He was a chip getter in college. So, I mean, that was a crazy draft. But, yeah, I think... You know, that's why I'm saying with the Warriors, they just, you know, having Wiggins, that, you know, having that new home for him, considering he had a rough start And now he's coming into his own. I mean, the KD argument, you know, what happened to Brooklyn this year by Boston, like, who saw that coming? Although Ben Simmons, I think, you know, not having Ben Simmons, and I don't care what anybody says, I mean, he does make somewhat of a difference on any basketball team he's on, at least defensively. He might not be the best scorer, but he wasn't even around for that series, and that's a good reason why they got swept. And I think that Brooklyn team with KD and Kyrie, they still need, like, I don't know why they traded Harden, but regardless, they still needed.
Harden wanted out. Harden didn't want to be there.
Right. So, but they still, for that team in general, they still needed, they need a third player. And
I agree with you. I just don't think it's Ben Simmons. I think that Ben Simmons is a cancer, and I think that he is, he's somebody that just, he doesn't want to play. Like, he just legit does not want to play. Like, baller's going to hoop. Like, if you really, really, really want to play, you find a way to play. You make it happen. And this kid just says he's a brat, man. He just doesn't want to be there. Like, I really, truly believe he just doesn't want to be there. Because if you really wanted to be there, you'd be there already. You would find a way to be like, tape me up. Like, that's why I love hockey. It's because all those hockey players and football players do the same thing. They're like, tape me up. I don't care. I want to play. Like, I'm playing for a chip. I'm playing for, like,
yeah, but it just really depends on the severity of the injury. I mean, you know.
Hockey, they don't care.
Well, hockey is definitely, I mean, but you get guys that, you know, if you have a torn ACL or you got, like, a serious back issue, I don't care who you are, you're not playing.
No, and I get that. I get that. But, again, the mentality is completely different.
Mentality. But that's what I'm saying. I would just say a confident, healthy Ben Simmons is a problem. Like, he's a good player. He's a good basketball player. He wouldn't be in the NBA if he wasn't. And I just think what happens with someone who's has such high expectations from when he does play, what happens is if you get injured and you're not playing, people are going to think you're soft. Then there's going to be pressure for you to play. And then you're like, well, what if I go out and play and either A, get more injured, or B, don't have a great game because I'm injured? Then what are they going to say? Right. I kind of can relate to that. When I was in San Francisco, you know, I was kind of like a big free agent acquisition, and I was expected to get a lot of sacks and do my thing like I was doing in New England. And what happened was I tore my ankle bad in like the third or fourth game of the season. And I had already had like two sacks at this point. And then this was maybe like game three or four against the Baltimore Ravens. And bad. Like, I almost felt like I heard a pop. Almost felt like I was going to be out for the year. Like, I felt like I broke my ankle. And we had a bye week. So I was able to recover for like 2 weeks. Couldn't practice at all. And then we go to New York. And for whatever crazy reason, because I didn't want, you know, I'm like this guy who the fans and myself and my peoples are expecting to play and be that guy. I can't be on the sideline by an ankle injury. Right. And so I tried to play and I couldn't accelerate. I couldn't move like I needed to move. And they taped it up. I don't know if I had an injection or something. I took a pain pill, whatever I had to do. I got in there and I still wasn't myself. And we end up getting like thrashed that game. But at that point, now I showed I can at least like hobble around. So guess what happens? Now I'm practicing and now I'm like, I'm recovering while playing, but I'm not 100% myself. So I only ended up with like two sacks for that year. We lost, I think we went like 5-11. And so the perception, like, and I ended up still playing on that bad ankle that whole year just to try to play. But my numbers weren't that great that year. And the following year, there was a perception that I had fallen off. Like, but they wouldn't say I was injury prone. They wouldn't say they won't give you credit for playing injured. But if your numbers don't par up, then they'll just say you're washed. So, because crazy enough, So I got released the next year. I barely, like, I missed the first four games. I played nothing but special teams. But I was 100% healthy the following year. But they just didn't play me. Like, they just, whatever, it was like, ah, oh, he's, you know, because I played on a bad ankle and was, like, moving, you know, 2 to 3 quarter speed of what I could do, they just didn't use me that much. And then I got
cut. Did they know that you were playing hurt?
They knew, but, like, I'm saying, like, sometimes it just, with coaching and just the way politics are, and, like, you know, I'm a high price tag player. They can, like, reduce my playing time or, you know, restructuring my contract. So the next year, even though I was healthy, they took $1 million off my contract because I wasn't as productive as the year before. And B, that's like, I don't want to get cut. But then I was super healthy. Like, I probably would have had a 10 sack season my second year with the Niners had they played me. Like, I ended up leading the team in special teams tackles, but I only played special teams. So it was heartbreaking that I get cut, go to the Patriots. Now I'm 100%. Guess what happens? 10 sacks. So I'm just saying, a healthy Ben Simmons, we don't know what he's battling injury-wise, but public perception is like really heavy on athletes, where it's like, if you don't play, they're gonna label you soft because you're making all this money, right?
Well, and, like, you know what? I actually am a huge advocate of transparency. So, like, if you had said this, and I think times are different. Obviously, when you were playing, there was no such thing as guaranteed money. There was no such thing as, like, you know, certain, like, they could restructure your contract in a heartbeat and it wouldn't matter. Like, there's, like, certain things that the organization can do to kind of screw you. And I'm not saying that you got screwed by, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but, like, there's just different things that happened, you know, during the time that you were playing versus now the time that Ben Simmons is playing. It's very, and also the NBA is so much more, whatchamacallit friendly, like, player friendly, as opposed to organization friendly.
Social media, yeah, and transparent stuff. I mean, look at Tatum, right? Tatum was playing on, I believe, like, a torn shoulder. And people were expecting him to, like, shoot the lights out and make all these plays. But, you know, he's going to go out there and play, but he's not.
Right.
He's not 100% what he could be. So public perception will eat him alive and say, oh, well, he's just not who we thought he was, and blah, 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 blah. And that's why I'm saying that happens to a lot of players where our pride, and, you know, Jason Tatum could have just been like, you know what, I'm out. I'm not even going to play. Like,
right. But again, it's the playoffs. So, like,
it's the playoffs. The Ben Simmons thing, I don't know what his injury was. I think it might be a back injury, right? Like, you could play on a bad shoulder. You could play with, like, a somewhat sprained ankle, you know.
Yeah, but 2 years? 2 years?
Well, did
two seasons.
Did Simmons play at all this season? No?
No.
Well, then we don't know the severity of the injury, but look at 2 years happened practicing. For Clay. But that happened with
Clay. Yeah, but no. You cannot compare those two. You cannot compare those two. Clay was hurt the first season that he was hurt. It was legit, whatever. And then he got rehab, he got better. And then he got hurt again. It wasn't one of those things where it was the same injury. Ben Simmons, it's the same injury. It's the same injury for Ben Simmons versus Clay. It was two separate injuries.
Yeah, but see, Clay's happened in a game, whereas maybe Ben's happened in practice or in training.
Clay's happened in a pickup game.
The second time it happened in a pickup game. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what Ben Simmons' injury is, and I don't know the severity of it. But I know that if I can go back in time with the Niners, and when I had my
injury, like, bench me.
And just be like, I'm out, I'm not playing until my ankle is 100%, I would have did that. Because, like I was saying, that's to my point why he may just be like, I'm not playing until I'm 100% Ben Simmons, because y'all going to try to clown me, or I'm going to lose money.
But when will that be?
Well, I'm assuming this year. I mean,
it could never happen.
If he doesn't play this year, And then, I mean, nothing really takes over 2 years to heal. I mean, depending on what it is. But if it's a basketball injury, if it's something that's fixable, then it shouldn't take him more than 2 years. But now, if it's a severe one, then I'm going to be like, Ben, I'm just going to milk them checks. I'd be like, nah, I'm coming. I'll be back. Knowing it's not a chance.
Okay, but we don't know what that injury is. According to Bleacher Report / ESPN, it is a broken bone in his right foot. That is not a 2 year injury.
But that's your feet though. That's your feet.
It's 1 foot. It's 1 foot. But
one
that's
foot?
1 year.
One, to be a pro athlete with a broken foot, that's like, no, you know how hard that is to play on?
Absolutely. And I'm not taking away from that. Like 1 year, even a year and a half, that's fine. 2 years, man. 2 years.
I think 2 years is the max. And so I think it's been 2 years. Let's see what he does with it this year. He may come out and just crush it this year. Remember this conversation. Because I'm just telling you, you know, he may have people in his ear. He may have mentors, advisors telling him not to play. It might not even be him, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, give it 2 years, just like any athlete. I mean, I remember Adrian Peterson was out of football for like 2 years and then came back and crushed it, you know, because he had multiple leg injuries.
He had multiple leg injuries, though. He had multiple. Ben Simmons has one thing.
My boy Patrick Willis had a broken toe, and that essentially ended his career. And he had no injuries. I mean, he was playing on a bad toe at one point, and then it got really bad. And then some of those things you can't come back from. Like if you get a metal plate in your foot or something like that, it might help you for like walking and stuff like that. But playing football or playing basketball and being able to be the guy that you were and be explosive off that foot, like if that's the foot you depend on to give you the boosties, and it's not giving you that, it's a wrap. You can't, you know, like some players are blessed to play multiple long years in careers, and you can have other injuries that you could play on. But some of them, it's like Drake said, I'm a sprained ankle, boy. I ain't nothing to play with. You know, like that's a bar. Because you're not really supposed to be playing unless it depends on the severity. You know, a broken, it's not like he got a strained foot. He got a broken foot.
No, and I get that. And again, I get that. And I'm not anti, but 2 years, man, like I'm just boggled by the timeline of it all. Cause like, yes, of course, if you have a broken foot, if you have a broken, if your back, like, back injuries, no excuses. Like you should be gone. You should not be playing. The back is something like you can't move. You literally cannot move. So like, I get that. I'm not like, you know, I'm all for recovery, but I mean, it just seems like he's taking a very long time.
Some people, and then that's the other thing. Some people are fast healers. Some people aren't, you know, like,
and he's still young too. I think that's my other issue. He's still very young. How old is Ben Simmons?
Probably like
25 years old.
Maybe 25. Yeah.
He's 25 years old, man. Like you should be able to heal really quickly at that age. Like we're in our 40s. Like you don't heal that quick in your 40s, even in your 30s. Like LeBron James, if he was gone for 2 years, I would understand because he's in his late 30s. I get it. That's fine. But like when you're 25, your recovery time is a lot quicker, man. Like, yeah. It's a lot faster.
Well, what he could be doing, though, is making sure that it doesn't, a foot can get re-injured because that's constantly what you're playing on. You know, it's not like a hand injury or like a shoulder or like a groin injury or something where, I mean, you need all your body parts, but I'm just saying there's certain.
There's some that you need more than others.
There's certain ones that you don't play with that you wait till it's 100%. Because you can injure it, and just practicing and training, like you got to be careful with it. Because he's got to think of his longevity. He can say, you know what, I would sit 2 years to play an extra 10 than to play right now and only have a 3 to 4 year career. Because
I mean, there's a famous line, movie line, says you can get killed walking a doggy. So live for today, man. Live for today, my man.
Hey, I don't know. It's, you know, you got to live for tomorrow too now.
No, for sure. But you, I mean, tomorrow is never promised. This what's is promised true. Is today.
But them contracts, them contracts is promised. And if I'm Ben Simmons, I'm going to go ahead and take them checks and wait it out as opposed to, you know, crash diving into a real bad situation that gets me.
Yeah, but the NBA be different, man. The NBA be different because, like, you still have that guaranteed money. You still have that, like, you know what? He is going to make that, like, who is the player that, like, injured himself and they still be paying him? Like, he's never playing ever again in the NBA and, like, they're still going to pay. Like, I think they just finished paying him. Like, he fell off a tractor or something and, like, he's, you know, what the Knicks had to pay him, like, certain amount of millions of dollars and he's, like, never playing again. Like,
that's the situation. I mean, it sucks to be injured and not be able to play because that's not cool either. But, right. You know, at least you're getting paid for it, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I'm just saying, like, he's still getting paid.
Well,
just crazy.
I don't even think he's tradable at this point either, right? Is he still with the Nets?
I think he's still with the Nets. I think they're kind of locked in on that contract for now. They're
locked in because I don't even think they could trade for him. So they got to live with him and see. Hopefully.
Well, also, who would you trade? Who's going to take him?
Who could you get for him? That's the thing. Like, his value is right. His stock is down right now. So he's got to get back on the court and get some value back on him. And then they may let him go. So,
well, speaking of that too, like, Kyrie is up for trade. He wants out of Brooklyn. And the day that we're doing this is the day of the NBA draft. So, like, that we're recording this. So what do you think about Kyrie? Like, they said that the Lakers are, like, the most viable franchise that wants him.
I think he would be great for the Lakers, but people say he's been a cancer everywhere he goes and blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
I mean, they hate him where you are right now. They hate him in mass. Like, I've never seen so much hate for that.
You know what? But that's just the way it is out here. They hated Tom Brady when he left. You know, I think they love you while you're here. And if you leave, you know, it's F you, right?
But there's been guys that have left. There have been guys that have left that, like, don't get that much hate. Like, I've, like, looked on social media and, like, it's across the board only Kyrie. Like, nobody else.
Well, they're like, I remember very vividly, like, when Kyrie was here, all of my boys, all the homies, the Boston homies, were Kyrie fans. Like, yo, we got Kyrie. Yo, he's ill. Yo, he's the best point guard. The Celtics, you're going all the way. And then, you know, he either had a couple bad games or had a couple bad interviews. And, you know, then he was gone, right? But I think it's one of those things where if he can, you know, he's proven that he can win a chip, that he could be, he's elite point guard. You know, but I guess the personality mesh thing or whatever it is. I mean, I've met Kyrie personally. He was a cool dude when I met him. And I know that public perception just, you know, like I said, eats people. So, you know, I think even that Brooklyn team, they got to the playoffs and he didn't even play the whole season. Right. So, I mean, that guy, he can take a team to the playoffs. And then if he has a supporting cast, you know, I think he can get another ring. I think he has another ring in him. I don't think it will be. I mean, as good as the as good as the Celtics, as good as the Warriors are, it don't matter who he joins.
I mean, I guess at least he got that one chip. I think that, like, and this is coming from somebody that is a Duke fan and a Duke lover, and I, like, certain Dukies can do no wrong. But yeah, I mean, it's the off the court antics that are the issue for me. On the court, that guy's a baller. Like, when and if he can play, there's no question he would fit in with the Lakers. I think that he's a better option than Westbrook. He's great. I'm not denying that. And if the Lakers got him and he did well on the court, God bless you. You know, Good luck to you.
Yeah, I think he'd be great in a Lakers uniform. And I think with LeBron and AD, that could be a problem for a lot of teams.
And also, like, they've already won a chip with each other before. So, like, there's that, you know. So, but, and he, I think it would have to be a straight up swap because, like, at least that's what I would want as a Lakers GM because, like, their contracts are pretty much the same. Like, him and Westbrook, they're the same. Like, I think Westbrook's making a few hundred grand less than him, but, like, they're both making relatively over 43 mil this year. So it's like, what do you trade him for? Like, are you going to give up all those picks? Because that'd be ridiculous. I personally wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to give up THC for him, and I wouldn't want to give up my 2025, 2027, 20 whatever first-round draft picks that you finally have, since you haven't had any first-round picks in forever because of that Westbrook trade. I don't know. I wouldn't want to give I don't know. But you're right. He would do really well in the Lakers uniform. Off the court, I just wouldn't want that headache. I'd just be like, save that for something else. But that might also work in LA, you know? That might be like an LA thing where like that's okay to work it out in LA. The one thing that you got to give Westbrook is that he never ever had like off the court stuff. The only thing he had that was off the court, I'm using quotations, was that he was a dick to the media. But that other than that, he was fine. Like he gave to you know the public, and he was really really nice, and he's good with community outreaches and stuff like that. Like other than the media thing, he's a saint. So and playing like ass on court at certain times. You know, he's not as much of a headache. I think both of these are bad trades because of their personalities, but. You know, I'm not a GM for the Lakers. I'm not Palinka, so.
Yeah. And
y'all headache, do you.
You know, if a headache wins you a championship, I think nobody really cares. You know,
no, that's true. That's very, very true.
But yeah, so I think it's going to be a good draft. The Warriors are getting rid of their 28th pick, I think, for a good trade. So that's, you know, I'm a big Warrior fan. I think the rest of the league is going to get better. We'll see what Kyrie ends up. We'll see if Durant. Stays. We'll see what happens with the Celtics if they, you know, keep it together or they bring in some new blood. It's going to be an interesting year, but the Warriors are the team to beat. They're only going to get better. And I will see you on the back to back and on the beach dive. It's going down. Okay.
I wish I could say I'm looking forward to it, but I definitely am not. So.
Well, I am. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and hit you with the rundown. I think that's enough for our show tonight, today, and the day after. So with no further ado, G, you down for let's a little rundown?
Let's do this.
All right. Here we go. We know the first question. Would you rather be a bird or a fish?
I'm going to be person number two. You know it, Tully. Fish all day.
Fish out of water.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All day. What would you be?
You know, I saw a bald eagle the other day flying, which is really rare. I saw a bald eagle. And the way it was flying, I was like, man, that must be cool to be a bird. But if I could be Shamu or a killer whale and jump out the ocean and snatch him up and go back to my business, I think I would roll with the killer whale.
So I think I'd want to be like a shark or I'd want to be smart like a dolphin. Those fuckers can stay whatever forever. So
dolphins are dope.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with the water on that one.
Yeah. And they're not punk either, by the way. Like, they still fight you. Like, they can still fight with their noses and stuff. So,
yeah, they can fight. Yeah,
and they travel in packs and stuff. So I don't know. I'd be cool with being a dolphin.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Good answer. Let's go with the next question. Would you rather? meet your favorite celebrity or be in a movie?
Be in a movie. No question. Forget meeting my favorite celebrity. Because, like, sometimes you meet them and it's like, you're so disappointed. It's like meeting they have a saying. It's like meeting the wizard behind the meeting the wizard behind the window or the curtain, meeting the wizard behind the curtain. You like get so disappointed because like in the Wizard of Oz, like they meet the wizard and the wizard's like this short little like scientist dude.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I thought that the wizard was going to be this like grandeur person or whatever thing. And you're just disappointed. So I just don't want to be disappointed. So put me in a movie. I think it'd be fun.
Okay. I'll see you in theater near you.
Yeah, absolutely. What movie would you want to be in if you had to be in any movie, though?
Oh, I like the superhero movies. So like,
okay, are you a Marvel or are you like?
You know, I like both DC and Marvel, but I like more of the characters in Marvel than I do in DC. DC, I just like the Batmans, the Supermans. Is it Daredevil? Is he a DC guy? You know, I like those kind of. But you know, Marvel has all the, you know, the Deadpools, the Wolverine, the X-Men. Iron Man, the Spider-Man, and just, you know, they just got so many incredible Hulk. It just, you know, they got too many good characters. But
who would you be if you were one of the Avengers? Because that's who the Avengers are, like the Hulk and the, you know, Captain America and like all those guys.
You know, I would probably be the Thor. Thor or Incredible Hulk, but Thor is that dude. I can't wait for the new movie to come out.
For the new movie to come out?
But yeah.
So I'm not going to lie. I am not a Marvel fan, except for X-Men. I love X-Men. I like the fact that they make fun of themselves. It's like comic relief in those movies. But other than that, I'm DC all day. Like, I love Batman. I love Superman. I love like all those characters. Like, they're the jam. Like, even Harley Quinn, like, I love all of them. The Joker,
they got better villains for sure in DC. The villains
absolutely
are
absolutely. I don't know, so I don't know what kind of movie I'd want to be in, to be honest with you. I think I'd just be ecstatic just to be in a movie, because I'm not an actor, so. And I've gone to acting classes, and that shit takes real talent, so I would just be happy just to even be in the background and just maybe have like one line, like don't shoot or something. Like, I think right. I'd be happy with that.
Being like so, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I want to be in Game of Thrones. That would be dope.
I'd want to be in something iconic. Like, I just watched Mean Girls again, like yesterday. So maybe I'd want to be in something like that. Like a kind of a rom-com, but like not really a rom-com, I guess. But like a more of a comedy. Comedy's hard.
Comedy, yeah.
So maybe do something along those lines. Yeah. And also, I think it would depend on who's in the movie as well to like make it great. I don't know. That's a rough question, actually, that I just proposed to both of us. So I don't know which one I would want to be in, but maybe a comedy. I think it'd be funny. It'd be fun to be in a comedy, I guess.
I mean, we are on Jokes and Jocks. You know, we're supposed to have, you know, that comedy. We definitely got comedy up our sleeves. But, you know, comedy movies, there's hit or miss, but they're definitely funner movies. For sure.
Absolutely.
All right. How many more can you do? Are you ready for the moment of truth?
I'm ready for the moment of truth.
Okay. So the moment of truth for G. Hay Wiley.
Dun, dun, dun.
Would you rather have been or can still be a famous basketball player, WNBA All-Star, or have the number one podcast in America?
How famous would I be if I was this WNBA player?
Like the top, like the who's the best one right now out there?
Who's the Candace Parker?
Candace Parker, or you know, the girl who's locked up right now in Russia.
Oh, Brittany Griner. So just because you just said that and you were like, who's the girl that's locked up right now? I'm going to take the latter. You don't even know who's locked up right now.
I really feel bad for her, but
that's a huge political thing that we're going through right now. And you're not the only one. You're not the only one who doesn't know who she is. So you know what?
I know who she is. I know it's Brittany Griner. I know.
But I'm just saying that like America, majority of the world has no idea who that woman is. So
you're saying that wouldn't happen to LeBron James or Michael Jordan if he got caught with a little tree in Russia.
If he got caught with a little tree in Russia, they'd be like doing everything and anything from day one to get him out versus Brittany Griner. And also he's not gay. So that definitely doesn't help her cause of being in Russia. They have strict laws about the LGBTQ community. So it's not helping her cause like that she's a lesbian and that she had like literally a small trace of hashish oil, by the way, a whole oil, not hashish. She doesn't have like a nug on her. She has like a little thing to like, just like the small little hashish oil thing on her.
Wow.
Like, it's not even enough to like, if she was in this country, they'd be like, we're good, go home. Like, they'd be like, why am I going to like detain you for something this small? It's just stupid. Like, versus, you know, like in Russia, they're just like, we don't care. And you know who they want to swap out for her? It's ridiculous who they want to swap out for her. I'm glad that we're bringing this up, by the way, on the podcast, though, because it's never, ever really talked about.
Yeah.
They want to swap out, like, so for Brittany Griner, who maybe smokes a little, maybe gets into some, she's gotten into some, you know, arguments and issues like with her significant other or whatever that have been a little public. But with the exception of all that, they want to swap her out for a hitman, for a known man that like is a hitman for Russia and kills people for a living. That's who they want to swap her out for. That's in this country that we're detaining. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's so ridiculous.
Like, for one of our US hitmen?
No. For one of theirs. For one of theirs.
So
that's
wait.
The swap.
They're gonna take their own hitman in?
So no. So they want to swap. So they like a lot of times, you know, governments will be like,
oh, we have one of their hitmen. Oh, we have one of
them. So they want to trade. Yes. Yeah.
Got you.
For a woman who hasn't killed anybody, she just had some weed on her. Like that's who you want to swap out for. So it's the audacity and like the mentality that Russia has right now. That like they're like, okay, well, like if this person's such a national treasure, then we want this person. It's like, dude, come on. One doesn't compare to the other. This woman is like, she's done nothing wrong. At least in like in everybody else's eyes. And I'm talking like majority of the world having like a small little thing of hashish oil versus like killing people. Which one's worse for you?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's an atrocity. Really, it really is. I mean, I feel bad.
But to answer your question, the other. What was the other option?
the number one podcast.
Yeah, I'll have the number one podcast. I'll be in Joe Rogan and making $100 million from Spotify, like instead, because people know who the hell Joe Rogan is. I don't really, to be honest with you, I don't really care if you know who I am. I just, you know. The money would be nice.
All right,
$100 million would be nice.
You just spoke it into existence.
Yes.
By saying that. So be on the lookout, folks, for Jihei Wiley and you know your boy TBC on some guest appearances.
Yeah, the Jokes and Jocks number one podcast in the country.
Let's go. it's coming. And we got some more content that we could definitely get into, but we'll say that for the next show.
Nice little teaser.
So yeah, that's our show, folks. G-Hey, I'm expecting that ocean dive in the coming weeks. So y'all be on the lookout on social media for that. We're gonna blur her out though. It ain't gonna be nothing X-rated, nothing like that.
Yeah, hopefully we won't get flagged for my big booty. It's not small, for damn sure.
So yeah, we definitely, you know, we gotta keep it PG, but it's gonna happen. And luckily for her, the weather, what's the temperature right now in LA?
That's a good question. Right now we're recording this really early, but it's been like 75 and muggy lately, actually. It's like 75, 80 degrees lately, but it's just 72 today. It's not too bad.
Okay. Well, it's been in the 80s over here. It's going to be 90 this weekend. My hometown in Sunnyvale, California has been 100 in the hundreds. So it's getting hot, folks. But we'll see you soon. We'll see you on the beach. Holla at your boy. And peace. Hit 'em, should I split 'em? Should I get 'em? You should just finish roll with 'em. Then I sit 'em down. Get up now. Click it. Get 'em.